Top Spotting 168.
Wednesday, November 23rd, 2011.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Wild Card Wednesday, and while we're doing another music episode, there is a little bit of a twist.
We got the idea from Daniel in Boston, and we'll let him set it up.
What about a top 10 list that includes your top 10 favorite Broadway shows? This is I'm thinking for a Wednesday podcast. Maybe either shows that you've seen, musicals that you've heard. For me, the Book of Mormon would clearly be near the top of the list. Wicked's another. Joseph is another, Les Miserables is another. I think it would be fun to sort of dive into the top 10 Broadway musicals, or you could do it much more broadly and do plays as well, or that could be another list. So it's another area of arts that's not really well covered, and I think you guys would do a tremendous job. It would be a lot of fun to hear what your thoughts are on the various and sundry Broadway productions.
Thanks for your call, Daniel, and thanks for the suggestion. We did ask for them, and you delivered. Now, I do have to say we're not exactly big Broadway geeks. In fact, for the United States, we're about as far away from Broadway as you could get, but we do love musicals and show tunes, and of course, we do love working with ideas that listeners like you come up with.
So we'll count down our personal top five musicals, if anything, just to get an education from everyone else on what we need to check out.
That's right, and so I guess we're saying there might be some obvious picks here, but we will do our best to share why they're special to us personally. And Jen, I'll admit I'm a little nervous, so I'm going to let you go first this time.
Well, no, you know, like you said, we're not big musical geeks, and mine are simply a list of musicals that I've had really good experiences at, and I picked them just as much for the experience of going as the music itself. And my number five is Grease. I saw this at a school production of a friend of mine back in 1988, but I am a huge fan of the film. It was written by Jacobs and Casey, and it premiered in 1971. It was set in the 50s, and everybody really knows Grease. I think my favorite songs in this particular musical are Hopelessly Devoted to You and Summer Nights, and certainly I think everybody has owned the movie soundtrack at one point in their life. It's one of the first albums that I bought with my own money, and I think I really enjoy this because it's a story of teenage rebellion and friendship and loyalty. And this is the musical that I would probably, if they wanted me to gather media to send to aliens, this would be the musical that I would send up to illustrate to them what America is like and what youth is like in America.
My.
So many well-respected actors and singers have been in Grease. Patrick Swayze and Richard Gere have been Danny. Lea Salonga and Debbie Gibson have played Sandy, and to me, the film might be the definitive version for me. I think Olivia Newton-John was the perfect Sandy, and I love Stalker Channing's Rizzo.
Well, I have to say, I knew you were going to have Grease on your list. I think you've seen this movie almost as many times as you've watched Say Anything, so it's certainly high up there. For me, my experience with it was, of course, I knew it as a kid, and then I knew it again as an adult, perhaps even just reintroduced to it through you, and it was the complete difference in the understanding of the song Greased Lightning.
Oh, yeah.
That will never forget that. I'm like, oh my God, my mom let me listen to this. That's a great place to start. My number five is an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, and I will admit up front, I'll do this here, that it was hard for me not to just fill my list with Webber musicals. My entire family, my mother, my brother, many relatives were just crazy about Webber, and his shows were why we took a unforgettable family vacation to New York City my senior year of high school. Now, like Daniel mentioned at the start of the show, you know, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, I love that musical. I think every school does it, so I helped with a production of it at my alma mater at Mililani High School, so that's certainly a personal favorite, but this musical is on my list. Now, this musical started as an album before it went to the stage, and my memories of it are my parents' LPs, those actual round circular albums that fewer and fewer people know even what those are. Our kids have no idea what an album is. And I remember playing with this musical, listening to it over and over on this turntable, and then recording parts of it and mixing it up using my dad's reel-to-reel machine. And that's definitely something you don't see around anymore. Now, I have to admit, I am not a religious person. You might get that sense if you see me tweeting and Facebooking from church. But I just loved the epic sweep of the story and a very basic and accessible human take on Jesus. And I have to admit now, I also love how 70s it sounds. It's definitely a musical of its day. It's got these great anachronisms in it, like you're supposedly in the time of Jesus, but they've got tanks and guns and, of course, hippies doing their hippie dances and using modern language and things like that. So I had to start with Jesus Christ Superstar, and here's the track. It's Heaven on Their Minds.
And all the good you've done will soon get swept away. You've begun to matter more than the things you say. Listen, Jesus, I don't like what I see. All I ask is that you listen to me. And they'll hurt you when they find they're wrong.
My number four is Miss Saigon, composed by Michel Schoenberg and Alain Boubil. I saw it live here in Honolulu in 1999, but it premiered in London in 1989. It was based on the opera Madame Butterfly by Puccini, and there's so many amazing numbers in this musical. There's I'd Give My Life for You, Sun and Moon, Movie in My Mind, and it was said to be inspired by a photograph that Michel Schoenberg saw in a magazine of a young Vietnamese woman leaving her child at an airport terminal for a plane bound for America. And I really enjoyed it, and it surprised me because it's very much a modern production. You know, it features rock guitar. There's a lot of skin. We meet strippers in the musical. We meet GIs who are swearing. There's a lot of drinking. And in my mind, I really had a picture of what a Broadway musical was like, and this really wasn't it. This was very rock and roll, and it's kind of avant-garde and kind of strange and modern and old at the same time. I do appreciate it very much on a production level, but I also appreciate it as a mother, because we see Kim's transformation from a young girl into a mother, and we see the decisions that she has to make. And here's a love song from Miss Saigon, Sun and Moon.
Like a mystery, I'm from a world that's so different.
That's a great pick. That's a great song. We went to see Miss Saigon together, I believe.
Yes, we did.
Now, I remember with the Broadway production, there was a lot of controversy because Jonathan Pryce was the conductor, the engineer, but the character's supposed to be Vietnamese.
Right.
Of course, here in Hawaii, that's not a problem. In local productions, everybody's Asian, so that works out. Cool. Well, my number four is perhaps the musical of musicals. It ran forever. It won all the awards, but I got to put it in here. It's A Chorus Line. That's got music by Marvin Hamlisch and lyrics by Edward Kleban. And, you know, just as much as I love movies about the art of making movies, I mean, kind of these meta movies, I love A Chorus Line because of the picture that it paints behind the scenes of musicals, of stage production. And I also like it because wherever you see it, I mean, everybody puts on A Chorus Line because it has a very bare bones presentation. It's just done on a stage. You don't need almost any props at all, just a spotlight. And I've seen it done at my high school. Manoa Valley Theater does it every couple of years, Diamond Head Theater. So I do seek this one out. It's a great story in itself. It's the story of showbiz for sure, and ambition and talent versus, you know, physical appearance, and the idea of that veteran artist looking for one last shot before the next generation sweeps in and takes over the stage. I like that it's an ensemble setup. It's got all these different characters that we learn about and we move through. It's learning about these different characters, and every time you see the show, depending on who's performing in it, it's actually actually a different experience because of the different interpretations. So that's got to be my pick. It's A Chorus Line.
My number three is Les Miserables, composed by Claude Michel Schoenberg again. It premiered in London in 1985. It was based on the novel by Victor Hugo. We saw it live in 1996, and the staging was amazing considering the amount of space they had at the Blaisdell Arena where we saw it. The Blaisdell is a very, very small theater, and they managed to really maximize the amount of space and really use the stage to good advantage.
And they did the big giant barricades that turn just like in the Broadway show.
I can't even imagine what this show would look like on Broadway, but there are so many elements in Les Miserables. It's a family drama. It's a love story. There's so many different things. There's Eponine's love for Marius that she's hiding. It's against that revolutionary backdrop, so there's a lot of conflict there. There's Javert's desire for justice, and it's so easy to think of Javert as just a villain, but he's really more than that. And by the end of the play, you really have an understanding of what Javert went through. I'd say out of all the numbers in this musical, my favorites are Bring Him Home and Drink to Me. And as a side note, they're actually making a film of this musical that's due out next year, starring Anne Hathaway and Russell Crowe.
Can Russell Crowe sing?
I don't know if it's going to be a musical. I think it's just going to be more of an adaptation of the novel.
And you read the novel as well.
I did.
So, I mean, how did you like the musical interpretation of that classical piece of literature?
I think I enjoyed the musical more than the book because the songs really helped to bring to life what Victor Hugo might have been imagining and what he might have been thinking and what the characters are thinking.
Well, Les Miserables is certainly one of my favorites as well. We had the international cast recording on almost constant repeat, several CDs there. It had performers from different countries. The Eponine was played by a Japanese singer who actually had to learn all her words, you know, phonetically. So it had a really interesting twist to it. So Les Miserables probably should have been on my list as well. My number three is, yes, another Andrew Lloyd Webber musical. It's Evita. Now, like Jesus Christ Superstar, it was a collaboration between Webber and Tim Rice. I think I like their work perhaps the best of all. And a lot like Jesus Christ Superstar, it's another rock opera from the 70s. It's dealing with another historical figure. But in this case, I have to admit, I fell in love with the story as much as I did with the music and the musical. I mean, I didn't learn about Jesus Christ from musicals, but I have to admit, didn't pay attention in history class, so it was really down to this musical to teach me about Eva Perón. And the story has everything. There's love and there's betrayal and certainly a political background, historical background, just like Les Miserables. I mean, there is certainly that bigger story, but it really is one person's story well told from young innocence through domination and power to fading away to kind of a bittersweet end. And certainly there's a lot of different styles of music explored, a lot of Latin influences in it. So I really love Evita. I love the musical. I've loved the small local stage plays, and I will admit right here that I didn't hate the 1996 film version of it with Madonna and Antonio Banderas and Jonathan Pryce. I thought it was pretty good for what we got.
I thought it was pretty good until I heard the cast recording with Patti LuPone as Evita.
Yes,
and then I changed my mind about it entirely, and I decided that Patti LuPone is the ultimate Eva Perón.
Yes, well, there's that. No disagreement there at all.
My number two is West Side Story, with the music by Carl Bernstein and lyrics by Stephen Sondheim. There's actually sort of a personal story about this. My parents bought me my first turntable when I was 9. They bought me all of the hot singles at the time, which were Mickey and Down Under, and now you know exactly how old I am. But I also got access to their collection, which included this movie cast recording. I listened to it constantly. I imagined the sets. I imagined the costumes. I danced around my room to it. It was recently featured on Glee, and that episode really helped to remind me of how much I used to love to listen to this recording. I didn't know until recently that Natalie Wood did not sing on the movie cast recording. Her voice was dubbed, but I really loved Rita Moreno as Anita. She was probably my favorite part of the recording, and some of my favorite songs are One Hand, One Heart, America, and Cool.
Ah, great pick. A favorite of my mom's. And so, again, something that was in very high rotation in our household when I was young. My number two is perhaps my least known musical, and one that I really wanted to share because it's lesser known, and it's called The Secret Garden. This was a very small musical that ran less than 2 years, and we saw it on that trip to New York and completely on a lark. We walked past it. We were having trouble getting tickets to some of the bigger shows, so we said, okay, let's try The Secret Garden. It was by Marsha Norman and Lucy Simon, and it did win 3 Tony Awards, and I didn't even know this when I saw the Broadway show, but it did star Mandy Patinkin. So, I mean, a really nice kind of connection there. It also featured Daisy Egan as Mary, the character of Mary, and she was 11 years old at the time, and she was the youngest female Tony Award winner. So it was clearly a great musical, and I really liked the setting of it, for sure, the staging of it. There was this big Victorian toy theater, kind of, you know, maybe like a dollhouse with figures that moved around and paper dolls, and it looked like a collage, and as the action on the stage moved around, the different lights in the different rooms in the big house would light up so you knew where they were. It's a really haunting story with some really haunting music about this young girl and being orphaned and all of that. The music has some Indian cues in it, some Irish cues in it. It has the traditional Greek chorus that just comes in and out and explains and what's happening and explains the transitions between scenes. So I did want to share one of the songs from The Secret Garden, and for sure one that Mandy Patinkin was in. And so here is A Girl in the Valley.
What a voice. I can't believe that's Inigo Montoya.
or Rube from Dead Like Me.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, Jen, what's number one on your list?
My number one is Phantom of the Opera. I know it's a total cliche, but it's really special to me. It premiered in 1986. And of course, it was composed by Andrew Lloyd Webber. I did see this live in Honolulu, Thanksgiving weekend, 1993, at the Blaisdell. It was the traveling Canadian production. So Byron Neese, who is actually a well-known Canadian musical star, played Raoul. It was my first live stage show, and it was over Thanksgiving weekend. It was my first time in Honolulu. I had never set foot in Honolulu except to change planes on the way to school, and I was with my friends. We all went to see Phantom of the Opera with her family, and I really did not know what to expect, because I had heard really amazing things about Phantom of the Opera, just the chandelier and the pageantry and the magic, and it really was that special.
It was, and I know why this is number one as well, because I went to UH Hilo a few months later. I transferred there from UH Manoa here in Honolulu. I was hanging out in your dorm room, and I saw the Phantom of the Opera poster, and I was like, oh, you like Phantom, you like Webber, I really like these musicals as well. And you were like, yeah, I got to see it in Honolulu just over Thanksgiving, and boy, if I didn't just about fall off the chair there, because I was there that same night. We were in the same room. We were breathing the same air.
It was fate.
Or coincidence. Or,
yeah.
I can live with either. I just thought that was a fantastic near connection. I mean, maybe we just locked eyes briefly outside before we went in or something. So I like that. Phantom of the Opera. Was there a song that you wanted to feature?
Masquerade.
Take your fill at the spectacle.
Well, I love Andrew Lloyd Webber. I love Phantom of the Opera, so no argument for me at all. And if you feel bad for being obvious, I think I might top you with my number one. It is a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical, and it is South Pacific. This is the epitome of musicals for me. It is the musical that popped into my head as soon as Daniel recommended the topic. And, well, simply put, a lot of my childhood is wrapped up in this musical. My mom loved this musical, so I did too. She would play it all the time in cassettes in the car, and I'm pretty sure we had to buy new cassettes at least once or twice for this one. We had a long drive to and from school every day, so there was a lot of South Pacific, and we were singing at the top of our lungs. It was a great bonding experience, and I knew the musical before I even knew about the movie, you know, the famous 1958 movie,
right.
And it was filmed here in Hawaii, Hanalei Bay on Kauai, so there's a great Hawaii connection as well. I love the story of South Pacific set after World War II. It deals with some really interesting topics that I was perhaps too young to appreciate, including racism and interracial relationships, and, you know, like I said, everybody loved South Pacific. It's been staged many times over the years. There was a big Broadway revival in 2008 that won all kinds of awards. There was a made-for-TV movie on ABC in 2001 with Glenn Close and Harry Connick Jr.
Yeah.
And I recently just caught clips from the Reba McEntire and Alec Baldwin performances when they did it at Carnegie in 2005. So
wow.
There's a lot of South Pacific out there. It's the musical that's the closest to my heart, so I had to put it at number one. And here's a signature tune that gets stuck in my head every time, and of course, it's Bali High.
Bloom on the hillside and shine in the streams. If you try, you'll find me where the sky meets the sea. Here am I, your special island. Come to me, come to me. Bali high, Bali high, Bali high.
Ah, gotta love Rodgers and Hammerstein, and of course Andrew Lloyd Webber and Phantom of the Opera. I think great ways to top off our top five musical lists. Of course, those are the top five musicals as chosen by a couple of musical newbies. And like Daniel, we're sure you've got some great recommendations as well, musicals that we should know about. We probably won't be visiting Broadway anytime soon, but that's what original cast recordings are for.
Pop Spotting truly would not exist without you. Yes, you right there, listening right now.
Hey.
If you've not turned us off already, you're definitely someone we want to talk to. Your feedback, your topic suggestions, your crazy ideas, that's what really keeps us going.
And we want to make it as easy as possible to be heard here on Pop Spotting, and the best way is leaving a voicemail at 815-310-0808. You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net, and you can also leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net.
You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/popspotting, and on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting, twitter.com/Hawaii, or twitter.com/Mrs. Hawaii.
Now, if you're having trouble keeping up with our show, don't worry, we often are as well. If it'll help, you can get an email every time we post a new show. Just subscribe to our notification list at popspotting.net/subscribe.
We want to say thank you to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for making our theme song, and we also want to say thank you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen.
Salam.